The fourth element of the Dapper framework is resistance. Resistance poses the question, how well will the changed attitude hold up in the face of counter-persuasion? And here we might imagine a persuader who has successfully encouraged favorable decoding of his or her message, that the audience has then accepted it, and that acceptance has persisted. How effective is the persuader? Well, the answer to that is that it now depends on how well the audience will hold up in the face of counter-persuasion. That is, persuasion for a competing product or a competing candidate, for example. And we should note that people are as easily re-persuaded as they are persuaded. So however easy it was for a persuader to change someone's mind, it's just as easy for someone to change their mind back. Or we should say more or less that is true. It's less true if the persuader includes in their message tactics to try to give the audience stronger resistance to counter-persuasion. We can think about two sets of these. One, for example, cognitive elaboration. Again, messages which are more mindfully processed, more effortfully processed, cases where there is central processing or systematic processing, those sorts of attitude change are significantly more likely to result in resistance to counter-persuasion than cases where attitude change happened merely because of a peripheral, heuristic, effortless sort of change on the part of the audience. We can also talk about preemptive, proactive tactics. Think of this like a preemptive strike. And we want to think about these as existing, I think, on a continuum. For example, between forewarning on one end and pre-buttle on the other end. Or the dimensions of this as identified by Larson, inoculation on one end and refutation on the other. In the purest form of inoculation, just as is the case with a medical inoculation, the patient or the persuadee is introduced to a weakened form of the agent that doctor or persuader in this case is trying to encourage their resistance to, introducing that weakened form so that the patient or persuadee can develop their natural defenses against it. In persuasion, we can think of this as while they are on our side, remembering we're assuming for the purposes of this discussion that we've gotten this far. In other words, we've gotten past acceptance and we've even gotten some persistence. So since we are successful, we want them to think about the weaknesses of the other position, the competing position, the competing candidate, the competing product, while they are already on our side. So inoculation is powerful in that it introduces a weakened version of the counter argument and encourages audiences to develop their own defenses against that while they are inclined to do so. That's one end of the continuum. The other end of the continuum can be seen as more assertive, more intervening, more preemptive in its strike. And the idea there is two-sided message with refutation. Two-sided messages with refutation have been found to be more effective in two meta-analyses, one on non-advertising topics, and the other study reported by Larson, Allen's meta-analysis of 70 studies involving 10,000 people that indicates we should use a two-sided message with refutation. The reason for that, of course, is largely that if we refute an argument before the audience is introduced to it, that audience will be significantly more likely to resist that counter-argument or counter-persuasion that they eventually encounter.